Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're having a good Sabbath. We're here. We should always have a good Sabbath, right? We're here praising God and doing as God has told us to do. So it's a great day. By the way, I do want to thank all of you for prayers you may have given my mother-in-law, Ann Drake. About a week ago, we thought she would probably be in a nursing home forever because she was really in bad shape. And they had said something about 2 or 3 months. And when they took her rehabilitation, she has made a great recovery this past week. She still has dementia, but she's up walking around and doing, we just can't believe the difference in her. So I do want to thank you for your prayers. Pat thanks you, and so does Kathy. So thank you. Well, I hope you're all getting excited. A little over a month, guess where we're going to be? At God's feast for 8 days. 8 days. Being together as family, worshiping God, and growing closer to Him and also closer to one another and making new friends, hopefully. Making new brothers and sisters that we didn't know, maybe. So, you know, in the last 6 months, we've lost 3 patriarchs in the Church of Dayton. Pillars are people who you can rely on. And one of those is my brother-in-law, Charlie France, who I was very close to. The other one was Vina McLaughlin, and now Earl Barnhart. You know, they have set a fine example because they were here when the church in Dayton was started, and that's been 57 years ago. Back in 1965. And I look at what all of them brought to Dayton over the years. It's amazing. Because pillars are supposed to be people you can look to, have confidence in, and know that they are your brother and sister. My brother-in-law Charlie, he served a lot of people. Charlie was always helping, always giving, always helping on setup, mushering, whatever he could do. Charlie wanted to be a part of God's church in every way. He wanted to be your brother. He wanted to be one that you could count on. And many things he did for many people, for many, many years. And that was Charlie. That's what he loved to do. He was a fine example. He loved God. And he loved all of you. Vina McLaughlin, she's a fine lady. Her and Gerald McLaughlin sort of treated me like a son when I came in church, because I came in with no family or anyone. And they sort of took me under their wing. I was like 19 years old. And they sort of looked after me, took care of me, and helped me in many ways. Gerald treated me like a father sometimes. Vina, she treated me like a mother and tell me off if she needed to, and she did. She told me one time I was the most arrogant person she'd ever met when I came into church. I told her, please don't say that. She said, well, you were. So anyhow, mess with me, you know. And it was always good to be with Vina because you saw she served everybody. She became a deacon. Deaconess, yours, people, and stay with them. New ministers were coming into the area to look for a house or something, and they would stay with the McLaughlins. And they were good down-home country people. Quite a character in a lot of ways. He loved his hillbilly jokes. He had a ton of them. He'd keep you laughing all the time. I'll tell you one. He said that one way and stuff, and he was going the wrong way. And so he just made a U-turn right in the middle of Main Street. And the policeman says, you can't do that. You can't do that. I said, yeah, I think I can make it. I think I'll be all right. And, you know, him and Vina, they were a pair together. You'd have thought that the way he talked to Vina sometimes, and she never took it to heart, and you'd think he was gruffy, you know, kind of huffy. But he wasn't. He'd take a pint of coffee up in bed in the mornings. It just shows how people are that you don't know until you get to know them, what they do. But they were a fine example. Vina was a fine example. She was all the time doing stuff for other people. And she was directly missed, just like Charlie is. Earl Barnhart, I remember Earl when I came into church. And Earl was always friendly. And the one thing he did, he loved kids. And I don't know how many kids that I've known would call him Grandpa. Because every time he came to church, he had something he'd have in that pocket. And when he hit the door, you'd see the kids start going towards Earl. He always stepped in the front area. And here come the Earl kids, just one after another. And he'd have candy or something else, and he'd be giving it out to it. That's just the type of man he was. He was helpful. He was a servant. He did set up. When we first moved to this area, him and I were on the setup team. We were the only two. And we did it for a long time, and have to tell myself, I guess, I used to be late a few minutes. We had morning service then. And we had to be here, you know, like at 8:30, I think, if I remember correctly. And sorry to say, a bad habit. I have a bad habit of putting down to the last minute. Earl Barnhart finally got to me because I had to keep telling him I was sorry. So finally, after about 2 years, I'm not slow to move and change, but 2 years, I finally made it on time. I thought his jaw was going to drop. I was there before him, which was, and I tried to make sure I was there on time all the time. But he was just one fine man. He'd do anything for anybody also. These are three people that I've known for 50 years. And you know, we've been blessed to have such pillars in the church. And we still have pillars in the church. You need to look and see that we got a couple other pillars here who have been here since the church opened up too. I started about a year and a half after the church started here in Dayton. But I know that them and other pillars in the church sure helped me. And you know, we need to appreciate each other because we do help each other. God wants us to be what? Good examples. Good examples. You know, 3 weeks ago, we had a baptism, two people. Just a great time. We all enjoyed it. I was watching. Sorry, I got sick that day. But I was excited because we got to see Rose and Jenny be baptized. We knew that they were children of God now. They had made the commitment. And you know, just as like they are as new babes, you know, when you see a new baby, you just want to go hug them. You want to say, glad you're here, and you know. And they need to know that we really care, and we're so happy they're a part of us. That's what family's all about. And that's what God's way of life is. Because we're supposed to be what? We heard about it, full of love. God is love. As we're getting ready to go to the Feast of Trumpets, this is our time. It's a time for everyone to be there. Do you realize that that time Christ will return? Those who are dead will be raised. Those who are alive will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll be in the army of the living God, Jesus Christ, the head of it. We will be a part of God's plan for eternity. That's the beginning. Then we go to atonement, where we're one with God. And then once we've been taught how and growing, we're going to be the Feast of Tabernacles with those who are left from all the rebellion, all the death, all the sadness that can be done. These people will be in shell shock. Do you realize that? They're going to be in shell shock. When you've gone through what they've gone through, seeing a third of people here and a third of this taken away and a third of that, and then you're going to come in and say, hey, I want to help you. Yeah, right. They're still human. You say, yeah, I've heard that before. You know, but you and I are going to be trained. And just as God has worked with you and I and everyone here and everyone He's called, we'll be working with others as the kings and priests that God has made us. And we'll be helping them to come out of what they've got and work with those people for 1,000 years. And the best part about it is, Satan will not be around. So as we come back to getting ready for trumpets, let's be sure we understand that we're being called and have been called to become kings and priests of the living God. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9 if you would. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Now, many of us have been baptized for years and we sort of forget the joy and excitement that we saw a few weeks ago, when they realized the change they have made in their lives, the same change you and I made. The excitement of saying, God, wow, why would God choose me? Now you have a job. You and I have a job to do. It's a job that's never ending. We will be doing God's will from this day forth on the earth and for the Feast of Trumpets. When Christ returns, we'll be doing it forever. Yes, you and I who have come from different areas, no greatness, no multimillionaires, no great people, no great senators, no great presidents, just a dinky-dink people. But He called you and you and you and me. And He said, I'm going to make you a king and a priest. Do as I say, and you'll be with me forever. That's the calling we have. What a blessing it is to know that our God has picked you and me out and all the others who God's opened their minds to. Because you see, the world sees things and they don't understand. But I know that when I did, it was like, wow, how come I couldn't see this? And I was only 19 years old. How was your reaction? Now, a lot of people in the church now who are coming in, they've been in church all their lives. It's not quite as a, wow, this is just phenomenal. Because you know where you've been and what you've done. And yet, the Almighty God has forgiven each and every one of us. Thanks to His Son, Jesus Christ, who came down and gave His life for us. You talk about a blessing. We are so blessed. Count our blessings every day. We're blessed to know that God has commanded we keep the Sabbath day. You didn't say, I want to come. God says, you will come if you love me. You will come if you're doing my will. If you're obeying me, you will be at my Sabbath day. And that's why we're here. We know that this is God's day. This is not to go out and do whatever you want, whenever you want, or I don't have time, I'm too busy. We have to make sure we understand and keep that in our minds. Because you see, we have the evil one, Satan, who is trying to destroy each and every one of us. And he will do anything he can. We let our guards down and we're in trouble. That's why we have to make sure God is number one in our life. He will accept no other position. He will accept no other position. So if he's number one in our life, what will we be doing? Our thoughts will be on doing what God our Father says. We will be studying. We'll be praying. You know, Matthew 5, 14, 16, you've heard it many times. God has called you and I to be the light of the world. And like he says, if you're my light, you're not to be hid. You're to be seen, and you're to be known that you're my child. And if we're known to be God's child, then we also should be known to be different from the world. Because this definitely is not God's world. You know, turn with me to Exodus 20. It's God's commandments. This is what he told the Israelites. Nothing has changed. In chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying..." Now, God was talking to who? "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." He's done the same thing for you and me. His first commandment is, "You shall have no other God before me." That's not saying if that's what you want. He's saying if you want to be in my kingdom, you will have no other gods before me. It's not asking if you want to. It's a command that you must do. It's a command that I must do. And we must take it that seriously. And if we have let up in any way, we need to recalculate. Because it is a commandment. There is no one else to talk to about it. If you want to argue with it, talk to God. I wouldn't do that. Second commandment. "You shall not make for yourselves any carved images or any likenesses of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth." We're not to worship anything. Not to worship anything. As you see, people have all kind of things they worship. Some people worship music. Some people worship people. Some people worship animals. And some people worship statues. God has told us that's wrong. If you do any of that, then you don't love me. Because I've called you out and made you understand why we're here and what your job is. And that I am to be number one in your life. And if I'm number one in your life, you will have no fear. With what's going on around the world right now, can you believe what's going on? I mean, you see people totally going lawless. And you can't believe it. Because you never thought you'd see the United States like this. And we are just at the beginning. It's going to get a whole lot worse. And you and I need to make sure that we are close to our God. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God," when he gets right down to it, "visiting the iniquity of the fathers and their mothers, children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." goes back generations sometimes if they're evil. God will take it out on the families. Third commandment, you should not take the name of the Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I wonder how many of us have failed that, hopefully before we came in God's church, before we knew better. You know? I had an uncle, and I'd say about every third word out of his mouth was a swear word. He was such a nice guy, but you almost hated to get near him because it was just bad. And I was just a kid. I couldn't believe he had such a mouth. But every third or fourth word, it was cussing and swearing, and you're going, what in the world? I think he had a limited vocabulary. I don't know. But definitely wasn't a good kid vocabulary, whatever he had. Then the fourth commandment, the one you and I are here today, keeping. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. This is holy time. And you and I have been invited to be here, and God has opened our minds to know that we're to be here. And this is where we're to be on His holy Sabbath day. We're here to be taught. We're here to grow together. We're here to get to know each other and find out what we can and if there's any way we can help each other, whatever it may be. We are God's chosen people to become more like Him every day. And God is love. God is love. And love forgives all. Six days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Is there anything hard about that to understand? In other words, it's His time. It's His day. And we'll be totally on Him and being family. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And only He can do that. Fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You can also say to honor your elderly people too. Pure and simple, isn't it? God's commandments are simple. And when you think about it, there's 10 commandments and it covers everything. It covers everything. And you see our government come out with, what, thousands of pages trying to pass something so they can slip something in it? 10 commandments. God tells you how to live. Now, He'll give you examples of what to do and not to do, but it all comes from the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments is the core of everything He teaches us. If you notice in the fifth one, it also promises you long life. Well, you know, I can almost say God has blessed me with that. Because most of my family died men by the time they were 60 years old. I remember when my cousin and I were getting close to retirement, I asked him, I said, you're going to retire at 62? He says, no, I'm going to work to 65. He said, I'd get that extra money and I get to 65. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, how many of our in-laws or our relatives have made it to 65? I said, you and I now are above what All of them lived except for one. Guess what? He listened. He retired at 62. Because he started realizing, you're right. You know, when your genealogy is that they die early. Now my wife, hers is up into the 90s, and even one uncle was 103 when he died. But the thing is, God has called you and I. And in my 50s, I had back trouble. And a few years later, I had heart bypass. Now, I may not have ever made it to 60, right? So I definitely knew I was retiring at 62. And my cousin had diverticulitis, and they had to take out like 10 inches or 12 inches of his colon there. And he started thinking about that, and I said, yeah, you know. And like you said, you were lucky. If you hadn't been in the hospital when it happened, you would have died. So it just, I'm giving you some of my thoughts. Not all. Give me God's word. Give some of my thoughts and things. Number six, you shall not murder. That is not only physically, that is mentally. If you have hate in your heart and mind, and you could kill someone, you've broken God's law. We are supposed to be love. As brought out, we are to forgive everyone. We are to be the example, and we're to be the lights of our living God. And as you see, the world is becoming more rampant. People going up and smacking people from behind. They don't care if they kill them. I saw that one in New York where he put some type of glove on, which probably a leaded glove, had weights in it, and smacked at an older lady. Or the young man, I'm sorry, it's a different one on that one. A young man. And he's still in the hospital. No reason. That's what Satan does to people. Satan, because they have no hope. They go lawless. And then when there's no laws and nothing done to them for it, it gets worse. It started 2 years ago during the pandemic when they wanted to do away with police. And it's only going to get worse. They took the protection away from the police in case accidentally they did something wrong or hurt somebody so they can be individually sued. As you find out, the police are leaving in droves from their jobs because their hands are so tied that if they do anything at all, they can be sued. And the police department or the city will not be behind them. And the law is not behind them now where they can't sue them. As you see, people get what they ask for. That's why God says, this is the way. Don't go the other way. This is the commandment. This is the law. And you are to obey it. And as long as we obey that law, spiritually and physically, God will be with us. God will be with us, will protect us, will help us through our trials. Because it's His promise. Doesn't mean we won't have trials. You know. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it just promises it won't test you by something you can handle. And with God's Spirit, I'm sure we can handle a lot. Next commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one that is broke all the time, and almost any more people almost brag about it. It's amazing. The world is totally going down the hill quickly. Last 2 years, the world has changed so much. From 2019 to 2022, you can see where the world has taken a huge turn. And since it's Satan's world, It's going downhill quickly. We do not want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of God's family. And thank Him for protecting us from it. Thank Him for giving us laws that tell us how we're to live and how we're to be. And He tells us He's a God of love and we're to be just like Him. We're to learn to get rid of the evilness that Satan has put around us, that we have in us, not even because we want to, but because it's been around, you sort of accept it. It's like now there's accepting, everybody's accepting that there's more than man and woman. Think about that. A judge got into the Supreme Court and does not know the difference between a man and a woman. That just about blew my mind. And they're so, are you kidding me? You have a husband, right? Sorry. Surely she should know. But you're not allowed to say anything about anything now, see? We're not to agree with any of this stuff. We should feel sorry for them. We should even pray for them, that God would open our mind. But we're never to accept what they're doing. Because God doesn't accept it. And He loves them. But He knows they'll have a time. And hopefully you and I will be there being able to be a part of helping them. At least some of them. And more later on. But that's our calling. Is to be a part of that. Eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Now, I don't know what you've seen on TV or if you even watch the news. People hate to watch it, but isn't it amazing how they can break windows now and grab whatever they want or walk in a store and grab it and take it? And, you know, they get arrested, they get put in jail, they're out before the policeman can even fill out the forms because they won't prosecute anymore. It's lawlessness. Lawlessness. There has to be laws. And if laws aren't carried out, there's no fear. Should you fear God? You betcha. Should I fear God? You betcha. Not in a, but in a way that I know that if I don't obey, I need to repent. And so do you. And the more we do it, quickly, the more we understand, we're looking at ourselves and we're not looking at somebody else. We're looking, what do I need to do? Because I want to be in God's kingdom. Number 9, you shall not bear false witnesses against your neighbor. Means you're not to lie. Bear false witness is lying. And, oh yeah, I forgot. We got the little white lie. Oh yeah, remember? White lie? Oh, that's okay. No, no lie is good. No lie is good. You know, the first thing that you think about, or I think about, is the first thing kids are young, they start keeping Christmas, Easter, and all these pagan holidays. Excuse me, they're not holy days, they're holidays. God's days are holy. And that's what they're brought up on, a lie. I remember when I found out, because I kept Christmas for years. I remember as a kid when I found out, I was disappointed about 5 or 6 years old. I realized, and I happened to look in a closet one time, and back in something I pulled out, and guess what? That's what I got for Christmas. But till I was 5 years old, probably, I believed in Santa Claus and all that stuff. But it has to be good, the world tells you. Because look, and they're so happy, they're singing, they're doing all this and that. Yeah, it's all a lie. Satan's a liar. It's all a lie. And parents said, well, no, it's not. I said, well, what else is it? Well, you know, I said, no, what is it? It's a lie. We cannot believe lies. And we don't want to lie. That's what God says. We're not to lie. Number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. How can you do that to a neighbor if you love him? That's what God is saying. If you love your neighbor, you won't do anything like that. If we love the world, you'll become a part of it. We don't love the world, the world's ways. We love the people because they are God's. They were born from the same family you and I were born from. They just don't know any better. You and I know better. And that's why you and I are to obey. Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. We're going to be kings and priests. A lot of people say, whoa, I don't think I could ever be a king. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can be a priest. God would not have chosen any of us if we cannot use the ability he has given us and continue to grow. That's God's plan for you and me. And to be in his holy city. We are so blessed to have that opportunity. You know, we're not to be a shirker or a jerker. We're to be workers of God's way of life. And if we're not workers, we are a shirker or a jerker. That's why we need to be able to distinguish whenever we fall short, so that we will repent immediately. The sooner we see our sin, and you and I will sin, none of us are perfect. Christ died so that we have Passover, so we can ask for forgiveness of our sins that we may not realize we've done. And when we're examining ourselves before Passover, God will help something come up and say, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. The quicker we repent of sin, the quicker and better our life will be. Because God sees that we love him. We do not want to sin. We're sorry that we fell into Satan's trap or that we did whatever. Let's go to James 1:25. James 1:25. Says, but he who looks into the law, to the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. With the work, this one will be blessed what he does. And then it goes on to say, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one religion is in vain. Pure, undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, that's not one of the Ten Commandments, is it? But that's one of the things he's telling you. It comes from love. And God's law is what? Love. We're to care about one another. And we're to help one another in many ways, any way that we can. And we need to be working towards that every day of our life. You know, an example of someone who walked with Christ, was around Christ, taught by Christ. We read about him every year, for sure, around Passover time. And that's Peter. There's other examples, but there is Peter in Matthew 26:69. And God rises, he's with Christ for 3.5 years almost at that point, pretty close to the end of it. Matthew 26:69. Now, if Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and of course Christ is inside and they're taking things at him on everything at this point before they kill him. And he's outside in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." That'd be like me saying, "I don't know any of you." Even worse. Because he's the sacrifice for each and every one of us. Peter says, "No." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out in the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know this man, know the man." And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said, "Peter, sure you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately, the rooster crowed. And if you remember earlier in the story, Peter told Christ he never would deny him. Pressure. That's why we need God's Holy Spirit in us. That's why we have baptisms. That God's Spirit will be in us and we'll be able to handle this. Later on, Peter what? I believe he's the disciple that was upside down because he said he didn't worthy to do what Christ went when they put him up. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. But then what did Peter do? Then he went out and wept bitterly. He repented. He wept bitterly. Because you see, he was sure that he could never do that. If you ever say, "I'll never do something," I paid the penalty on that one a few times. "Boy, I'll never do that." Somehow, Satan makes it so that comes around and you do that, and then you have to repent of it. Can you imagine how Peter felt? Can't imagine. But when he repented, guess what? He became a servant of God, a good servant. You and I, turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:15. You and I must know that you and I must keep studying. You and I must keep praying. You and I must keep growing in God's love, understanding, and obedience. If we don't, we know what the penalty is. We are in the final stage of God's plan. You know, it's like the 100-yard dash, because the world's going down. We don't know how long it's going to be, but we're down to the Feast of Trumpets coming about, which is your fifth holy day. So we're going on the downswing now. There's a few months between Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets. There's only a few days between Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement. And then there's only a few days from Day of Atonement of being trained to becoming teachers in God's 1,000-year period. So you know it's coming closer. How quick is up to God? Nobody knows, not even His Son. But we got to be sharp. We got to think. We got to obey. And we have to realize that we cannot accept what the world is teaching. We are to come out of this world. We are to come out of this world. In Revelation 3:10, I've mentioned this many times over the years, is my father-in-law's, one of my father-in-law's favorite verses. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of the trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. And some translation says no man can take your crown. Because you see, Satan will use anything he can, family, friends, whatever, to try and get you to leave and become a part of his dysfunctional, I guess you might call it his family. We do not want to have the Laodicean attitude. Turn with me there. Revelation 3:14. Just down the way a little bit. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. God would rather us be cold than to be lukewarm. Think about that. Because when He called you, you were cold. I was cold. I did not know. Because if I did, I may have changed sooner. But there's still a chance for someone who's cold. But when you get someone's lukewarm, they're playing the game. Well, this little bit, whatever suits me, that. He wants us to be hot, don't get me wrong. He wants you and I to be hot and on fire for His truth, just like we were when we first came into God's church. Just like you were when you got baptized. We need to work on it. that we don't slip. Make sure we're doing our part. Once again, I know your works that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Because he knows he can still work with us. I know your works. 16. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Spew you out. I'd say that's pretty disdainment, wouldn't you? Pretty disdained with what's going on if you're not going to do the job. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that's what the world is. Their life revolves around money. Around things. We all like things, but we're not to love them. We're to love God. I'll just refer to 1 Peter 5:8. The roaring lion is out there, and he hates you and me, because God loves you and me. God has called you and me. And he knows that God wants you to be in his kingdom. And he knows he's never going to be close to it. He was kicked out. And will never return. You and I have a chance to be in that wonderful New Jerusalem. For eternity. With all that's going on in the world. We truly need to make sure that we are not slipping. We need to make sure we're keeping God the Father our number one person that we want to be with, or being we want to be with for eternity. And the only way we can do it is keeping his commandments. And in New Testament, they tell us what? His commandments are what? To love the living God with all your might, all your heart, and to love your brother with all your heart and all your might. And when you love, you don't do wrong. If we love God with all of our heart and might, we will want to please. Husband and wives, understand this. You love someone so much, you want to please them. You want to take care of them. That's what God does for you and me. He takes care of us if we love him and obey him and serve him. And says, I have a place for you. Christ said he went to what? Have a place for each and every one of us. And he's waiting on us to come too. Because he wants his Father's will to be done. In Hebrews 13:8-9, I'll just mention it. Christ is the same today. Tomorrow, yesterday, he's saying yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing has changed. God doesn't have to change. God is perfect. We're the imperfect that he is working on and wanting us to become perfect and to be with him as his children forever and become the kings and priests, what he has set up for us to be. It's up to us. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. we're to obey and keep God's commandments, and it's not a suggestion. If you want to be in His kingdom, it's not a suggestion. Because if you do, obey, you will be blessed. And if we disobey, we will pay the penalty. May each of us continue to grow in the grace and knowledge and closer to our God. That we will be raised from the earth and changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's our calling. So when Christ returns, we'll become part of His army. And from that we go to God the Father and are taught. And then we go from there to the Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Trumpets. We'll go from there being with God on atonement. And then we'll be in God's Feast of Tabernacles for the 1,000 years. And we'll be with God for eternity. And we'll be helping others who have come out and will come out as God has called you and me to do now, that we can be the kings and priests of the future.